Lovers, today's episode is brought to you by CanFit Pro, Canada's leader in fitness education, now with virtual courses to serve students globally. In the dynamic world of fitness, being a proactive fitness professional, business owner, or industry leader is essential. To succeed, you must stay up to date with industry trends, refine your marketing approaches, and nurture skills that directly impact your operations. CanFit Pro has a one-day event happening on November 3rd called CanFit Pro Aspires Growth. This event is designed to provide you with the strategies and insights needed to elevate your business endeavors and ensure a sustainable, thriving career. Join leaders in the fitness industry for an immersive experience that will propel you confidently into your next growth phase, equipping you with the tools and knowledge essential for lasting success. You can see some of the presenters are people that I know and love: Lawrence Biscontini, Natalie Lacombe, and of course the queen of fitness herself, Mo Hagan. And spoiler alert, Mo is gonna be on our Heart to Heart podcast next month, so you don't wanna miss that. Head over to canfitpro.com for this one-day event to register. There's 8 sessions that you can choose from for the day, and you'll also receive 2 CanFit Pro CECs. It's an event you don't want to miss.
Welcome to the Living Spiritfully Podcast, Heart to Heart Edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
Hello, lovers. Welcome to Heart to Heart, the Living Spiritfully podcast. It's Paul Galoro. I'm so excited you're here, and I am so thrilled for today's conversation because once again, we're meeting with fitness royalty. And our guest for today is, I guess, kind of my counterpart. Well, actually, in all honesty, and Trevor, I didn't tell you this, and I haven't told anybody this, so I'm going to just share this with you now. In my head, I've been calling us prom queen and king. Obviously, I'm the prom queen. You're the prom king. That's what I've been calling us in my head. But today we have Trevor Pickett here. He is a certified personal trainer and human movement specialist that has worked in the fitness industry for over 11 years. He has won numerous awards, including 2023 Fitness Professional of the Year for Personal Training Specialist and Best in Business from 21, 22, and 23 for his work as a CanFit Pro Pro Trainer. Trevor teaches the CanFit Pro Personal Trainer Specialist Certification and his own continuing education courses entitled Mobility Coach. He's been featured in several magazines, podcasts, and CBC Radio. And now the prom king himself is here with us today. Welcome, Trevor.
Thank you, Paul. I'm proud to be the king or queen with ever alongside you. Yeah, honored to be here. Thank you.
It's amazing. So, I've known of you for a while because we've been rolling around CanFit Pro. I was a pro trainer many, many moons ago, but I've been hearing of you winning, scooping up all these awards, Best in Business for the last few years. And then my bestie, Alicia, and her husband, Drew, they've taken some of your courses. And so it's so cool that finally our worlds come together. And we share this honor together to be the top fitness professionals in all of Canada. And now we get to have this heart to heart.
Yeah, no, it seems like we've been floating around the same circle a little bit, but this is, and I thought it was really the coolest thing about winning the award so far has been just meet all the awesome people I got to meet. So, and you were on my list of cool people to meet. And it's an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm so happy you're here. I see your award is over your shoulder back there. Yeah, show it off. You worked hard for it. Amazing. Love that. I'm so honored and thrilled that you're here. So we're going to just jump right into the heart space. I just want to point out, Trevor is sitting on the ground, as he's seen that I usually do when I record my podcast. But now I got a new background in my new office that I've worked on. So anyways, I love that you did that. I love that you're here. And Trevor, let's talk. How is your heart?
My heart is glad. today. I mean, first off, I'm glad just because I'm here chatting with you. And yeah, that was kind of the first descriptor that comes to my mind when just, trying to attach a word to your question there. I'm a big believer in gratitude and stuff like that. And, just every day, just kind of taking inventory of everything that's going on around me. And I mean, how beautiful is this, right? I get to chat with you, beautiful weather outside. And yeah, I mean, things in this moment are great. So I was just, that's my descriptor is I'm feeling glad at this moment,
I
I
love
guess
that.
is the big one. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. And I mean, I got a glimpse of your life watching your sizzler reel that they played when your name was announced. And you live on a farm. You have, let's talk about this because it's like, old MacDonald had a farm. You have chickens, and I see the stuff that you post on the Instagram. Listeners, if go to the show's notes right now and start following Trevor on the Instagram because you can see his little adventures with his animals. So let's talk about that a little bit. How cool is that?
Yeah. So just quick recent history. I'm from Ontario originally. I grew up in Hamilton, Ontario. I lived in Toronto for a huge chunk of my life, about 10 years or so. And then in 2021, kind of right in the heat of the pandemic, my partner and I, we sold our house in Hamilton, and we decided to try the rural lifestyle out. So we moved, we found a really nice property out here in southwest Nova Scotia. And we bought ourselves a little acreage and some land. And it's funny, the previous owner, he had even more than me going on. He had like chickens, he had a goat, like all this stuff. And I remember doing, the back and forth you do. And he was like, "Do you want to keep the livestock?" And I was like, "I don't know anything about that type of stuff. No, you're gonna have to take it with you," because he had a whole chicken coop and everything set up. And and of course the whole deal with the pandemic was really tough to just even get over to the province at that time.
Right.
So I said, I have no one to look after those animals if I can't get to the house or whatever. So he sold them. We moved here, and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe one day, And then last summer, my partner and I, we were out. She's a horticulturalist, so that was the other big hook to us getting some land, is because she's just doing all kinds of amazing stuff out there with growing our own food and stuff like that. And one day that we're out there in like basically the height of tick season out here,
The
and we get these little brown ticks. Now they're not the ones that cause Lyme disease, but they're still creepy as hell.
yeah.
And I look at her, working in the garden. She's got one on her neck, she's got one crawling up her arm. And she's just like, "I've had enough of these ticks." And I'm like, "I don't blame you." So we have lots of farms around here, neighbors. So I reached out to a neighbor and I said, "Hey, do you think we could buy some chickens off of you? We have a chicken coop. I don't know anything about it, but let's." And she, sure enough, she said, "I won't even. You can just have them. I'm going to give you your own little starter chicken set, four hens and a rooster." I said, "Okay,"
That's amazing.
because they eat ticks was the original reason, and we figured we've been buying their eggs for the last year or so. And so last summer I was a ch or last spring summer I was a chicken newbie. And those chickens ended up, I learned all of a sudden, oh, if you got a rooster, you're gonna end up with some chicks. So, and anyways, this exploded, and I mean, I think a little over 30 chickens now that we raise. And yeah, and then this past spring, last fall, I lost a chicken to a hawk. This is like, it's a whole world, this chicken thing. Like it's a so we researched on that, and they said that geese are good for guarding your chickens against that. So that's how I ended up with two Toulouse geese this past spring.
Wow.
So I have so I have two geese and about 30 chickens. So I wouldn't say I'm quite a farmer, but I'm definitely in the realm. I've been using the word homesteader because I guess that's kind of the catchy phrase. But yeah, absolutely love it. I love animals. We already had I had at the time I had three cats and two dogs already. So, we're always been animal people. But yeah, I
Wow.
absolutely love it. Yeah.
That's amazing. So Catherine Stilo is my co-host for Come Alive, and she also has chickens. And
Nice.
it's so fun, the little like stories and their personalities. And she always tells me there's like, oh, this is happening with the rooster and this is happening with the hens. And it's hilarious. It's like its own little like soap opera.
That's a perfect descriptor. Yeah, I call it, my friends will be like, "What's new with you?" And I'll go, "Oh, just more chicken drama." And it's like my friend, he's like, "What's it like raising chickens?" And I said, or "What's it like in the chicken coop?" And I said, "It's kind of like going into a middle school. Like everybody's got their little cliques and they're mean to each other sometimes, and that one's popular and this one's not,
That's hilarious.
and you just feel, you feel bad for the ones that are like low on the pecking order or whatever." But yeah, it really surprised me because I've never really been into like birds as animals. I mean, I was like, oh, that's cute or whatever, but no, I'm out there every day, especially now I got some silkies where they're kind of like they're almost furry. So I'm picking them up every day. I'm cuddling them, and I love.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. That's amazing. And so, like, do you sell the egg? I mean, well, 30 chickens, that's a whole lot of eggs. You're not eating all those on your own, are you?
No. Right now, so basically, normally we actually are planning to sell eggs in the future. We actually. So kind of a quick thing about chickens is they go into a period which we call broody, where they want to lay on their eggs. So my four hens, they all went what we call broodies. They all laid on their eggs. But we figured, why don't we get some fertilized eggs from some different farms? And most of the time, if you just give a chicken a hen that's broody, if you just give her an egg, she'll just, like it's one of her own, she'll just tuck it underneath her. So we did that. We got about I think we bought almost two dozen, and we put them under, which is really cute because our hens were, because they were like starter hens, they're really small chickens. But we got some bigger breeds. We got these big ones called Cochins, which, so it's funny because the mom is like so small, but she's got these giant kids, and now they're kind of like they're on, I guess they're like teenage chickens at this point. But when they start getting to the maturity, yeah, they're going to be laying eggs like crazy. So yeah, we try to eat eggs pretty often because they're a free. That's kind of the homesteader thing was like, the more food we can produce on our own. And I really like it, not to be too preachy, but I just like the idea that our chickens, sorry, I have to look at the chickens to think about it, but I like it because every day I let them out. They have a full acre to go wander around on. They can go. They can eat bugs. They're not stuck anywhere. They're not stuck in a cage or anything like that. They have a great life. And all I do is, scoop up their eggs at the end of the day or sometimes beginning of the day. And yeah, we eat the eggs pretty often. And eventually, I'd like to start selling them because yeah, I might be getting. I don't know if my estimates are right. It'd be like, I don't know, over 100 eggs a week or something, maybe
Whoa,
at some point. I mean,
that's
I
a
might be
lot,
off on my estimate, but
but
yeah, I
still.
don't think we'll be able to eat all
That is a lot. Wow. And so
that.
you said your wife is or your partner is a horticulturist. Do you guys also like have food, like you're growing food, plants and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Tomatoes, cucumbers.
Yeah, we're doing basics like that right now. This season was a tough season. I mean, as you probably know, Nova Scotia had like we just had the worst weather you could imagine this past spring and summer. Like June, or May and June was fires. We were like terrified. Actually, it almost got my application in late for the fitness professional of the year award because I was dealing with the forest fires. I thought we were going to have to clear out.
Oh, whoa.
And then dealing with floods. So it's just been crazy weather. So our sort of crop wasn't as great this year. We did okay. We grew some potatoes, some cucumbers. But yeah, that's her specialty. She's got a whole vision and plan. And every year we just start getting a little kind of a little more and more. She likes flowers too, so
Yeah.
we'll probably grow a lot of that type of stuff. But that's the
Nice.
idea. I mean, we just want to be able to get out and get as much of our food from our backyard as we possibly can, right?
I mean, that's the way to do it, especially nowadays with food prices and sometimes there's stuff, sometimes there's not. It's an interesting time, but it's good that you can live off the land and rely on your own resources.
We're trying, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned the Fitness Professional of the Year process, the nomination process. So let's kind of jump into that for a second because I don't know about you, but for me, it was like that to me was the award. Like it just the process itself, I've never, not that I've never done that before, but to the extent and the depth that we're invited to look at our career and our contribution to fitness and the four different kind of areas that they ask us to look at. And we had to write a long, not long, but we had to write a report on those areas, our accomplishments, our vision, and then continuing education and community involvement. And so for me, it was like to sit there and look at my accomplishments, especially after having leaving fitness for a bit and then coming back, I really didn't think I accomplished much. But then I sat down and I looked at it, and I even at one point read because somebody had said to me, I was delaying, I was stalling, and somebody said to me, "Don't write it about you, write it about someone who's done all those things that you did." And I was like, "Oh, great idea." So I'm like, "Okay," and then he did this, and then he did that. And then I read that, I'm like, "Oh my God, this guy sounds pretty cool." And I was like, "Oh, wait a second, that's me." So it really helped
Love
me. It helped me fall in love more with myself and appreciate what I'm doing. So I'm curious to know, like, what was your experience like with the nomination process and going through the reflection?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, actually, I was nominated and in the final three in 2021 as well. I didn't win that year, but it's funny the way you describe it actually, with like that kind of it forces you to be reflective. And it did the exact same thing this time around. I had a I'm assuming they don't tell you who nominated you, but I'm assuming I know through just my colleagues and that. And there was even a moment where I was kind of not sure if I was going to, just because or to go through with the accept the nomination, just because I had a lot going on, as I mentioned, the wildfires and stuff were kind of on my mind. And I think in terms of like what you're describing, though, this whole idea of kind of being reflective, I think one thing that people deal with in the fitness industry a lot is confidence. And for me, like, I've been somebody, just to be kind of real with you, somebody who's dealt with their self-confidence, had issues with their self-confidence a lot through their life. And obviously that's gotten better over time. And in this business, I find that sometimes, if you look at the whole kind of stratosphere of things, there is a lot of kind of people that are not always super positive about other people's fitness regimes and stuff like that. And I find it sad, obviously, and I find it really confusing. You and I mean, are a good example, right? I'm not, I mean, I only know a little bit about your practice, but I know yoga is a sort of forefront of that, right? And I'm a personal trainer. I've done a bit of group fitness and stuff like that, but our approaches are maybe different, is what we could agree on. However, our mission is exactly the same, right? So if somebody comes to me and I go, "Listen, for whatever reason, I'm not the person to help you," and they go to you and they get help or whatever they need from you in their journey in fitness, we win, right? And
Yeah,
that's the
yes.
that should be the that that should be the greater thing. So leading up to this, I felt like, I'm always, even when I post things online, I'm always like, there's that little bit of self-doubt where it's like, did you say that right? Or is your form and your exercise right? Is somebody going to comment on it? Is somebody going to be mean or something like that? And this whole process has really got me into this mode where, excuse my language, but I don't give a shit,
Yeah,
right?
yes,
In that sense.
totally.
Because for me, I really feel like, didn't need the award to build up my confidence, but I love the way you described that process. And I think that's so cool that your friend was like, get you to write it about somebody else. I love that actually.
Yeah.
I feel like I can really learn from that. And yeah, it just gave me retrospective and start looking through and being like, okay, you start looking through old clients and reaching out to people because you kind of have to do that for this process. And I was the one couple I train, I was the other time I was like, I need you guys to say nice things about me, right? And they're kind of joking around. They're like, oh, that's hard to do, right? But yeah, just getting that, and maybe every once in a while it is nice just to have somebody say, hey, like you actually did make a difference in my life, whether that was a student, with my designation as a trainer, as a say a pro trainer or as an educator. So yeah, for me, it's actually, like you said, it was a bit of a tough process. Like it was hard to go back, and you almost feel a little vain because you're trying to look like nice things to say about yourself. But I think that's not true. You should maybe routinely we should be thinking of nice things to say about ourselves, right?
A
Yeah.
thousand percent, 1,000%. I actually shared with the Movement Educators Collective, is a group of fitness professionals around Canada and the US. We get together and we talk, we support each other in our fitness journey. We do, it's almost like a Toastmasters for fitness
Cool.
professionals. And when I was going through the process, and I'm talking like there was tears, I was resisting, I was excited, like it was all the emotions. It was a roller coaster, as I'm sure you know. But I said to them, I was like, you have to do this. Like, j even like you don't, it's not for anything, just do it for yourself. Because the reflection, I mean, yes, my clients and my students will come to me and be like, oh, that was great, thank you, or oh, I really needed that, or Paul, when you said this, I needed to hear that. But going up to them and saying, hey, what do you get from the experiences that I lead? And then them having that, like just telling you from your heart. Not, there was a few times where I was like, oh my God, who is this guy that you talk about? Like, he sounds amazing. But also, it was just really heartwarming because I don't know, I do
Absolutely.
what I do because I love doing it. I don't do it for the accolades, but then to get them, it's like, oh, okay, well, at least
Yeah.
somebody's getting something out of this. I mean, I'm getting tons, but it's good to know that the receiving end
Absolutely.
is benefiting in what they're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing that surprised the hell out of me is when they called my name at the closing ceremony. I couldn't believe how emotional I got. I mean, I was nervous. I knew I had that emotion. And I'm a pretty, like, if I'm being honest, I'm a pretty easy to make person cry. Like you show me a, it can be a happy video of an animal, a sad video of an, and I will be, like at Facebook, I'm like
Yeah.
crying, watch it, but I didn't think I was going to be emotional at all. And bam, like it just hit me. I put my head down for a beat because I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I had my parents with me, which just upped the emotion for me that much more because I don't get to see them very much,
Yeah.
being out here. But yeah, it was incredible to, it is incredible. I mean, even if it's not for something like this, just taking stock and, maybe it's a good business tip for people, and just in,
Yeah.
because a review, you can get reviews obviously and testimonials, but I like the way that you said that, where it was like, describe what I give to you or what I'm bringing to you. And I kind of had a similar question as well that I posed to some of my like mentoring groups that I keep for past course participants and stuff like that. And yeah, I was just surprised too how many people reached out and sent videos and stuff, so I could include that in my video and all that. So Yeah, it was a huge confidence booster for me. And I, like I said, somebody who struggles with that sometimes. It's
Yeah.
a daily thing sometimes.
And thank you for sharing that, because I also have struggled with my confidence. In all honesty, like, I've been presenting at CanFit Pro since 2012. I didn't actually feel like I fit in and I belonged until 2020. Like, every workshop that I created or I presented or anything, I just always was like, there's that inner saboteur that comes, that inner voice, that who are you, imposter syndrome, right? That comes up. And so it may look like we're just like, the most confident people out there, but no, there are challenges. And so thank you for mentioning that, because I think not a lot of people understand that. And I think also a lot of fitness professionals that might be considering going for this, not like going through the nomination process or whatever, might there may be that voice in them that's talking them out of it. And I think that's even more reason to do it, because yeah, we need to overcome that.
Absolutely. It was funny. I don't know if it was somebody in your party actually was sitting right behind me during the awards. And I mentioned in my little speech that I basically this was my 10th year going to the CanFit Pro conference, which was really cool, right? To kind of like get it and kind of that even that made me reflect. I'm like, oh my God, I remember this little guy with the backpack at the conference and just being like, what is this thing, right? And the guy behind me, he said, this is my first. He stopped me after when we sat back down. He said, this is my first CanFit Pro. And I said to him, I said, well, you're next then, right? You're next to get up there. I said, and if, and by that, I said, by that, I don't mean next year necessarily, but one day that, if you want that, that's up, you're going to be up there, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that's good. You're right. We do have to kind of admit when we're feeling a little underconfident. I mean, public speaking still terrifies me, which is hilarious because I public speak routinely every
Yeah.
week teaching. But I still get those butterflies and nerves and everything. And but yeah, for sure. I guess that's one thing I didn't even think about was how it just gave me that little bit of validation and that boost in confidence, whether I went home with the award or not, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Claudia, my friend Claudia and I, we joked because she was sitting beside me. She's like, "Oh shit, like what if they don't call his name? It's going to be a really awkward drive home." And but just yeah, it was just like I said, going through the process, because I looked at myself in a different way, and that within itself just gave me that little boost in even feeling, because I didn't always feel like really secure in myself and my abilities. So it just kind of like, and not the award, but the process where I sat down and I looked and listened to what people were saying. And then that also helped me reflect on or remember the why behind what I'm doing, right? And so then to hear people say, "Oh, it's because like I get this or I receive that," it's like, right. Okay, good. That's my why, and that's why I'm still here. 'Cause I know even
Absolutely.
in our industry, it's really easy to get swept up in the numbers and the I need to have more clients, I need to have more people in my classes. I mean, I've done that. And now I'm more into the being what is needed for the people that are in front of me. So whether it's four people that show up or 40 people that show up, I'm just, showing up to deliver whatever it is that's being asked of me in that moment.
Absolutely. One of the nice things about teaching the CanFit Pro course, at least for a personal trainer side of things, is I get to speak to that because I don't know, maybe it's similar for you, but as soon as the Instagram or Facebook figures out you're a trainer, it starts sending you all these ads, and it's like, if you're not making $100,000 every month, what are you doing? Get out of here, And I just think, oh man, this is a little bit destructive, because there's so much. This is so much more than, obviously, it's so much more than the money we make. I said, okay, I say, I you always say this when I leave a course. I said, Let's imagine you are not a very successful personal trainer, meaning you get out of here and you train one client. That's it. You train them, but their whole life, they're in a terrible place. They're unhealthy. They don't like themselves, whatever it is. And you make a difference in their life. Their life completely changes. There's no way you're going to sit back later on when you're older and go, oh, I only changed one life in my measly life. And if I think if you can just take that one mission and go, okay, this is the person. I love that you said this is the person in front of me because being present like that. And I'm just going to do everything I can in my power to make sure they have a good experience and hopefully make a difference, be partnering in their life change potentially. There's something so freeing about that. And I think there's even a practicality to that, like a business practicality, because then you're just present, you're focused, change that life. And of course, the irony is usually, at least I found that your business does pretty darn well based on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I know just from my experience, when I was chasing that, oh my God, I have to have more. I have to have this. I have to, this is the specific dollar amount goal that I fumbled. It was exhausting. Like it was literally exhausting. But now that I just kind of, I show up and then people hear about me from someone else, or this person finds me online, or just people like randomly show up and I'm exactly what they need in that moment. They're exactly what I need in that moment. And it's this reciprocal relationship that just is, I don't know, it just is amazing. And that
Absolutely.
just comes from letting go and letting be. I think.
And I mean, I can tell from just even our interactions and seeing you online and stuff like that, that you can kind of tell when someone just really cares about A, what they're doing, and B, about exactly those people in front of you. And you can't fake that. I don't think you can anyways. And so I think that that's lent really well to you, obviously,
Thank
as
you.
well.
So last month I had a conversation with Melanie Levenberg. She won Fitness Professional of the Year 22, and she was the one that passed the crown on to me for group fitness. And she said, when she said this, I was like, oh my God, yes, because both she and I had taken a break from fitness and then came back. And it was the pandemic that sort of guided us back here. Because for me, I was working primarily in wellness studios or wellness centers, fitness, yoga studios, etc. And then pandemic hit, and it was CanFit Pro that came up to me and said, "Hey, we're doing a mental health thing. Do you want to present a session this week?" The yoga community actually did not invite me to go online with the studio that I was working at. It was like much later when I stepped forward and started to go online. They're like, "Oh, okay, you're doing that. Well, why don't you come do it for us?" And I said yes in the beginning. But anyways, it was CanFit Pro that guided me back. But one of the things that Melanie said, she said she took a break as well. But the fitness industry that we're in now is not the industry that we were in 5 years ago, even. And so I'm curious to know how have you seen the fitness industry has shifted, especially coming out of the experiences of 2021 and 22?
I was in the same boat. Basically got the news that everything was shutting down. To be honest with you, I was terrified. In sort of February, March of 2020, if I got my timeline right, I was terrified. Because it's like, okay, I don't have an income all of a sudden. Like, first off, just financially, right? And of course, just worried in general for this was my first pandemic. I don't know what the hell to expect. And then, actually, you brought it up. CanFit Pro came to the rescue in that regard as well. They reached out and they said, "Listen, does anybody? This doesn't look like we're wrapping this pandemic up anytime soon. Do you think?" They brought it out to all of us instructors. They said, "Do you guys think you could teach over Zoom?" I'd used Zoom maybe once before. I mean, just for little. But at this point, I was fighting for milk, and I said, Sure, I will give it my absolute best. And it was cool because I think it was cool because I was so nervous teaching again, teaching over this. It was even somehow scarier than my first time teaching in person. Like I was
Wow.
sweating, I was checking the internet speed all the time. I was driving my partner nuts. She's like, "Ah, it's gonna be okay." Because I said, "What if what if I freeze on the thing and all these different things?" Long story short, it changed my whole life because it now has opened it up. We ended up, obviously, our first couple courses teaching it online were experiments. They were tricky and stuff like that, but it's completely changed the whole landscape. Now it is probably teaching online is just as popular in person, if not more, because people can access. We had people take the CanFit Pro certification. I've had a couple people from India take it now.
Wow.
I had somebody in Athens at one point. South America, we've had a few, and even like more Eastern Europe as well. So it just completely shifted everything to this sort of global scale for me as well. Moving out here, I do the bulk of my training with clients and now teaching online. I take a trip to Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, which is like 2 hour drive, a couple times a year to teach in person, but that's about it. I have to do pretty much everything remotely, and I mean, there's a huge learning curve, I think, but it's completely changed our industry is, and I think people sometimes, they're a little pessimistic about it. They're like, "Ah, it's so much harder doing this over." And to be honest, I just always want to try to look at the advantages. I'm like, look at all the advantages. What are the big things that people struggle with in-person training? Cancellations. Okay, well, how much more likely are they to not cancel when it's like they just gotta log on to their phone or whatever? So for me, the industry has changed. It's something I'm trying to keep up with because I have people that are joining our industry that interact with and sort of mentor, and I'm trying to keep up with that because it's become such a big market. So I'm still learning myself, I guess, is what I'm getting at about everything that this new online landscape has really opened up for us.
Yeah, totally. I find that because, especially on the group fitness side, and I'm just gonna group fitness side, I'm gonna be real talk for a second. There has been, for as long as I've been in the industry, this thing between fitness instructors, this competition, and I'm sure even as personal trainers, you've seen that too, where it's like, you gotta be better, you gotta be the most popular. This instructor doesn't like, not that they don't like that instructor, but there's like some sort of like rivalry. I don't get it. I really don't. Because, like you said before, we're all here doing the same thing. And I think that I know because, yes, I do fitness, like group fitness classes, I do yoga classes, but my group fitness classes is literally everything mashed into it's like a 20-20-20 format. You're gonna get everything you need in this 1 hour, but some people like just specific cardio kickboxing. Some people like just specific, muscle conditioning. And so I get that. I want people to have an experience. Like fitness should be a buffet. You get a little bit of everything. But
Couldn't agree more.
there was that like that rivalry amongst fitness professionals. I think that has shifted so much because we all just were like pulverized by like the entire industry. Like I said in my speech, it
Oh,
was
man.
destroyed. And then we all showed up like, shit, guys, what are we gonna do? Like, we need to put this shit back together. And I love that we can put it back together however we want. And like I said, I want to see more love. And I've been seeing it, even the way that we talk about taking care of our bodies and why we want to get fit. And it's not just about being fit, but it's about being well. I mean, there is still some instructors that I notice are hanging on to the old way of doing things and still have that like rivalry against like each other. But for the most part, I think people are coming together and they're coming together for more meaningful purposes and more meaningful reasons in fitness and making it more about wellness, which I think the industry so desperately needed for the longest time because I mean, those gimmicks to make people feel horrible about their bodies.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I wouldn't like, you know, that stuff that you see on television, like the, you know, the paid advertisements and stuff like that. And like, those, I don't consider that to be the same as like what we're doing, because I feel like you and I are more movement educators than we are, you know, just getting people to sweat and beat the shit out of their bodies. I just find that there's a shift, especially within CanFit Pro as well, just with the inclusivity and it's everything. It's not just working out now. We're looking at mental health. We're looking at brain fitness. We're looking at spiritual health and the mind-body connection. And it's completely different. And I love it even more. And that's what drew me back into it, because now it feels
That's cool.
more inclusive, I think, which is there's still work to be done, yes, but I
Yeah.
it's so far from where it was before.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing I think about, and some this is another exercise I get my students to do, is I say, think about if we were to ask somebody on the street, just anybody, like just somebody who, you know, doesn't exercise or you know, doesn't have like the fitness lifestyle or whatever, and we just said, describe a personal trainer to me right now. What do they look like? What do they sound like? A lot, and then my students will be like, it's funny because now I use Zoom as our little comment thing. They'll be like, meathead, you know, no personality, robot, mean is another one that pops up. And I said, okay, we have, and you guys, of course, are aware of this, but it's our expectations, right? So I always try to just be aware of what those and things are changing, which is great. But yeah, that used to be a comment I would get when I taught group fitness more, actually, like boot camps and stuff like that. People would show up and be like, I thought you were going to be mean, is what they would say. And I'd say, why did you think I was going to be mean? They say, well, you know, I'm out of shape and you're going to be shouting at me to do push-ups. And I was like, that's the polar opposite of what I should be doing. Maybe there's the odd person that kind of responds to that. That's just not my style. But can you imagine the person shows up and they're expecting, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in a polo, and you are this goof and you're bubbly, or maybe just whatever your personality happens to be. You get to flip that. You just change that story instantly. So I'm always like, try to make sure that you, whatever their good expectations are, try to meet those, right? You'll be professional, that you'll design a program for them, you'll help them with all that stuff. Sure. But their expectations, the negative expectations they have, let's try to think about that. And I think we're all starting to get on that wavelength a little bit. I mean, being nice is not just some woo-woo stuff, right? Not just spirit. It's good practical business. It's like 101, right? If I go to a mechanic, it's funny, I just came back from my mechanic and we were talking about the pandemic. If I went to him and he was a real jerk to me the whole time, I'd just be like, okay, you seem like you can fix cars okay, but I hate dealing with you and being with you, so I'm just gonna go to the other person or try to find that. So yeah, I do know about the I was joking around about it on, I see it online more than anything, people being I hate those videos. This is just me ranting, sorry, Paul.
Please do it.
I hate those stop videos where it's like, stop doing your whatever like this. Stop. I'd like to make a video that's just called Stop Making the Stop Videos, because it's always
Please do.
like
I will share that.
well, I mean, in some cases, sure, maybe you have a better way of doing your bicep curl or something like that. I don't know. But just share that. Just say, hey, this is how I do my exercise, and this is what I do, instead of, if you're still doing it this way, you suck and you're no good. I'm like, there are so many people that are terrified right now, as you and I were just talking, just to get into the gym and start moving or into their training space. Please do not scare them away that they are going to be a stop, you know, video. So yeah, I really feel like we're seeing less of the stop stuff, and we're starting to get more. I mean, even just you and I chatting, I think is great. Like, you don't, it's not a fitness instructors, and maybe even more in the more like the disciplines like yoga, and personal training, it seems like we almost don't get to hang out that much, which is kind of
Yeah.
sad in a way, because I've learned so much from yogis and going to yoga classes. I've done yoga workshops, and I steal from them all the time. I've learned a lot from Pilates instructors, like just all kinds of different folks out there. Anyways,
Yeah.
rant done.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Thank you, because there's such a wealth of knowledge amongst all of us that it would benefit all of us to share that with each other professionally so that we can get to the people that need to get it. Like, people come to me all the time with questions and I'm like, "Wonderful question. This is my take on it. And if that's something that you want to do, talk to this personal trainer or go see that person or go do that thing." I could easily be like, "Yeah, sure, let me help you." But I know where my specialty is, and I know where my I know where what my zone of genius is, and I'm good at that and I'll stay there, but then I also know what yours is. So if I see somebody that needs your genius, I'm gonna send them to you and stuff like that. And I just think that is so much that's more of a community kind of feel, and that's what I'm looking. That's how I would like to see the fitness industry be more of a fitness community where we're
Me
supporting
too.
each other, professionals supporting the consumer and the consumers supporting each other and the professionals supporting the professionals.
Absolutely. Yeah,
That's the
we're all on
world
the same
peace.
team. Yeah, we're all
Exactly.
on the same mission. Yeah, we just need more
Yeah.
boots on the ground and keep working at it. Yeah, I
Absolutely.
completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so I feel like we're wrapping up in a minute. Before we get into the rapid fire questions though, I'm just curious, what have you got going on now? Like, I know you've got your continuing ed, you're doing your CanFit Pro courses, but like what are some exciting things that we can expect from you in this coming year?
So big things I'm working on right now. Most of what I'm trying to get out is more continuing ed. So I just launched a mobility coach. When the heck did I do it? Maybe in the spring. I can't remember now. It's new. It's more recent. I'm working right now. I'm planning on making a program design one that I've been writing. That I'm hoping to launch early in 2024. And its whole premise is, I like to just take things that people have struggle with, and that's always been a tough one, is the principle of program design, especially more around personal training, but and try to my own take, but my own take is it's just try to simplify things. So that's something I'm working on. And the other thing is helping some of my associates that I mentor, I'm helping them design their own courses as well. So trying to get that type of stuff out. I mean, I guess the other side project I have is I'm always looking to mentor and just try to kind of like just on the same thing we've been talking about, try to help other folks. Actually, if it's okay, what I'll do is I'll send you. I do a free every week. I just call it office hour, where anybody can drop by. It's a virtual office hour. They can drop by and just if they have questions or just want to say hello or whatever. And it's for anybody. It's like somebody if they're struggling with their CanFit Pro exam or something like that, or specific business questions. So I'm just really on the hunt for more opportunities like that to help other folks out.
That's
And I guess I'm
awesome.
selling eggs too, is another
So if you're in Nova Scotia, get your eggs from Trevor. I love that. Please send me that information because for your office hours, I'm going to include that in the show's notes. So if there's any fitness
Thank you.
professionals or just anybody in general that has a question for Trevor, go in and the details will be in the show's notes anyway for how they can sign up for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Appreciate that.
One last question I want to ask you about the name Offbeat Fitness. Where's Offbeat
What the hell
coming
is that
from?
all about?
Yeah, tell me because I have this is I go. I want to hear this.
You know, it's funny because sorry, I'm trying not to take too long on
It's
explaining
okay. Do
this,
your
but
thing.
I feel like I'm giving my whole biography doing this, but it's got a few meanings for me. So quick bio on me. As I said, I grew up in Hamilton, and And it's not like it was always a mean thing or anything like that, but my whole life, everyone's always told me, you're a little bit offbeat. You're a little bit out there. You are, and sometimes if you're a weird kid when I was a teenager, and for multiple different reasons, I just, and they were right. I didn't like the same things as other kids. I had a really crazy imagination and stuff like that. The weirdest thing I remember in high school, at one point, because I'd get bored during high school, during class, and I'd be sitting in the back of like an economics class or something. So I found a book at the library on origami, like Japanese origami, and I started folding. Started looking. I was like, "This is this should be a class on this." And so I sat in the very corner. So I made like a whole origami garden, like flowers, everything. And people were just like, and I mean, this is Hamilton, Ontario, in the 90s, right? But people would come back and they'd be like, I heard about this origami garden. Everyone was coming to check it out. So they were just like, God, you're a weirdo. Like, you're not into cars or anything. And I was like, no, not really into that stuff. So offbeat fitness for me was a no-brainer because one, it took me a long time to start celebrating that. I moved, when I moved to Toronto in my early 20s, that was celebrated more. They're like, you're a little weird, and we like that, right? It's just that's kind of how it was. Not hating on Hamilton, but just how it was at the time. And so, and I've always been drawn to those things. Originally, I would be looking at if I met someone whose fitness practice was different. I remember I did a workout with a ballerina once, and I'm like, this is a little offbeat. Like, this is different. This is one of the craziest workouts I've ever done in my life, but just all these different things. And it's actually kind of interesting because it kind of culminates what we've been talking about, this whole idea of, there's so many ways to peel an onion, and I've just been drawn to all of that stuff. Now, what offbeat fitness means to me, though, over the last couple of years, is I've completely changed my whole life to be something that is not on the regular track, right? And I'm not hating on cities. I love Toronto. When I moved out here, and even when I lived in Hamilton, people were like, oh, dude, I'm sure you're glad to be out of Toronto. I was like, no, I love that city. It's got its problems, but it is just, it's a beautiful place. I loved it. It's tough to buy a home there and stuff like that at the time. But so for me now, I live the offbeat life. I live off the beaten track. And that's come for me to feel like, now this is where I belong type thing. So yeah, offbeat fitness has a lot of different meanings for me. I guess as a philosophy, it just means always thinking critically is our saying. It's kind of our mantra, and basically questioning ourselves and questioning what's around us at all times. And I think that that's something that can really enrich your training practice, and maybe, not to be too philosophical, but enrich your life if you take that for what it's worth. But so that's where it comes from.
I love this, and I suspected that, but now just hearing you say that, it makes sense why we're both prom queen and king, because as a mind body misfit, it was the exact same thing. I never felt like I fit in anywhere. And I was always kind of like out there and weird, right? Like I was talking about meditation and stuff in fitness classes before it was a thing, and now it's like a thing. So I did. And also, it comes from I never felt like I fit in the fitness industry before. I didn't feel like I fit in the yoga space, the yoga community, because I was too mind body for one. I was too physical for the other. And so I'm just like, now I'm at a place where I was like, I'm a misfit and I'm okay with that. And it's been like lifelong. So this is why we're soul
Awesome.
brothers. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Trevor. So we've got our rapid fire questions. So
All right,
just
I'm ready.
sink it to your heart. Whatever comes to your mind, just say it. What makes your heart sing?
Makes my heart sing. Life and just appreciating all the life around me, whether that's human beings, animals. That makes my heart sing, and just seeing Every moment that you see somebody seeing a living thing feel joy, that's what, to me, that's what life is all about. Every time you see that, just that, even that second, you pet your cat and you see that cat enjoy that pet, phew, that's all you need.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That makes my heart sing.
Awesome.
Tell me what makes your heart heavy?
Makes my heart heavy. There's it's tough. I watch the news just like anybody. I do watch the news. I try not to dwell on the news because, that whole you can only do what you can only do what you can and what you have control of. But I do like to be aware. For me, what makes my heart heavy is thinking about how so many people can't see their own value. Sometimes when you meet somebody that's down on themselves, I feel like I'm yelling through a wall, you're awesome, you're amazing, all these things, and they just can't hear you. And we're seeing, we see that, you brought up mental health and stuff like that. So I feel bad for a lot of people. I try not to let it bring me down too much and just keep chipping away at what I can do. But yeah, I won't lie. I'll sometimes just think about a friend or somebody I know that's not doing well or maybe doesn't realize how awesome they are. And yeah, that makes my heart heavy sometimes.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Thank you for sharing that. And now our final question, where is your heart leading you these days?
Where is my heart leading me these days? My heart is leading me to be to it's funny because it's actually really this my thought that I had this morning. I do a lot of philosophical thinking in the gym. I call it in between set thinking. And my heart right now feels like I'm at a beginning. I really feel like winning this award too, a lot of people were like, okay, you sort of like have done something now and you can sort of say that you are, and I just feel like as proud of myself as I am, I just feel like, boy, you just begun and you have so much to learn. And a lot of people take that as a negative. They're like, oh man, it turns out I don't know as much as I thought. I get excited about that. Can you imagine how boring life would be if you knew everything? It would suck. It would suck. So I guess where my heart's leading me right now is to, it's leading me to towards things I'm terrible at. That's been my weird little mantra I have in my head lately is go keep looking for things that you suck at and head over there and just keep working on yourself. So I guess that's my rapid fire answer anyways.
I love it. I love it. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, Trevor, honestly, it's been such a delight
Oh,
to
likewise.
be in your energy and to share the space with you right now. Thank you so much. Congratulations again on being top fitness professional, personal trainer specialist in the entire country. Because I mean, you're amazing. And just this conversation, I know exactly why you received that crown. And it's you're so deserving of that. So thank you for all that you do, all that you are. Thank you for being here on the podcast. Listeners, check out the show's notes because all the ways that you can get in touch with Trevor is all going to be there. Check out his office hours. Trevor, you might see me in there one day. And
I hope so.
lovers, thank you so much, Trevor. Lovers, join us next week. We've got Crystal Eves talking about Scorpio season. Dr. Patricia Rennie is talking about castor oil and why I love it so much. And Jackie Talley and I have another heart to heart. So, Trevor, thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you.
And we will
Love
see
you
you
too.
again.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galaro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko, and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.